This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On WhatsApp, no one can see or hear your personal messages. Whether it's a voice call, message, or sending a password. To WhatsApp, it's all just this. So whether you're sharing the streaming password in the family chat or trading those late-night voice messages that could basically become a podcast, your personal messages stay between you, your friends, and your family. No one else. Not even us. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Blue 58!
This one made no sense to me.
Blue 58! Touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This one made no sense to me. Will Levis is having season-ending shoulder surgery.
Earlier on the show, longtime Cowboys insider Clarence Hill. Coming up, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Actor Paul Walter Hauser. Plus, latest news and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk is going to join us in 20 minutes' time. Lots going on as now every team save the Falcons and Steelers have opened training camp for the 2025 National Football League campaign. Mike will also give us a primer on what's going on with the NFL Players Association and what's happening with leadership being all blown up. So Mike will join us in just about 20 minutes time. Some news that I'm eager to learn. Mike doesn't know, so I'm just going to ask everybody here in the Rich Eisen Show studio, who brought the Thin Mints to the equation back there? Anybody?
I have no idea, anybody? But I'm glad they did.
The Girl Scout cookie.
No one knows. Thin Mints, but here's the thing. I've been back there for over 2 weeks. And they're not gone.
Well, as you know, I've been out of the chair.
I just discovered them on Monday.
What?
Hoskins
brought the Girl Scout cookies. All right.
Yeah, I
Rich Eisen Show tag along.
Wow. I know.
Oh, courtesy of who? Emma Bruce.
Emma Bruce.
The official niece of the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you, Michael. I had one about 10 minutes ago.
It's only fitting that Mike Hoskins' niece is a Girl Scout. You know what I mean? Like he's like the Boy Scout of the Rich Eisen
he's
Show,
like
right?
Eagle Scout.
Pardon me.
Yeah, the top of the top.
It's the top of the tippity top. I don't know the hierarchy. I don't know the hierarchy of the Scout.
I understand.
Okay, very good. All right. So we got to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Like we are at the box right now.
I didn't want to ask questions. I'm just glad they were there.
Oh, my God. I think there's three sleeves left. So get in while the getting's good right now. Are those the best Girl Scout cookies?
Thin Mints? We've done this before.
We have.
I think yes. Other people, you know, like
the peanut butter
Samoa
ones. Are those the tagalongs?
Those are up there.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Are you the one who left the one sleeve out of the box yesterday?
I don't know. TJ.
I found
why?
One just sitting there.
If that's a problem, you tell me.
Why
you think it's combating the freshness?
Well, it was left open and there was four Thin Mints.
Put them in the freezer.
Let me ask you this question.
Thin Mints in the freezer.
Could Thin Mints last an entire generation
of people?
Yes.
No.
Thin Mints are. Do those go bad?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just saying.
I thought you meant for like a Twinkie.
Girl Scout cookie that could last a while.
Oh, you mean like a Big ones. Mac that people still have from like the 80s?
What?
Oh, you don't know about that?
What?
Like a Twinkie.
Somebody would like You know, I've seen stuff like people have preserved the Big Mac since 1980 to show that it doesn't.
How?
I don't know.
What?
There's a lot of mold going on around here.
Dude, it's, hey.
Colin Feller.
Feller's looking for business.
Feller's trolling for business. Once again, anybody needs mold remediation, check things out. Anybody just needs remediation or mold, check on Mike Del Tufo.
Right. There you go. All right, great. We got you covered here.
We do. We do. Okay. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Let's take a couple phone calls, and then we'll update you on some other holdouts of note or hold-ins of note in the National Football League. Veronica in Los Angeles, hometown of the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Veronica?
Hi, Rich. How's it going?
What's going on? What's in your mind today?
Well, hopefully you're feeling better. I appreciate you guys.
Okay.
I feel like I know you, TJ, Chris, Mike. You all are amazing, and
what's up, Veronica?
It's an honor to listen to you, and go blue, baby.
I pray. Thank you, Veronica. And that by the way, it sounds like I've got a bad cold. I know that. I'm dealing with allergies. I don't know what's going on around here.
Yeah.
It's allergy season.
Is that what it is? Man. It was bad in Maine, too. But I just blame that on Brockman used to live there. All right. What's on your mind, Veronica?
I'd like to play the win-loss NFL game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, for which team, Veronica?
The Detroit Lions.
Ah,
Detroit.
The new America's team,
hey,
right?
Hey, listen.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do it.
All right, TJ.
Come on, Veronica.
All right, Veronica, are you from the great state of Michigan, just living here in Los Angeles now? Because you said go blue,
yes.
And you're a Lions fan.
Where I am from Michigan.
Where are you from?
And a diehard Michigan fan.
Where are you from?
I'm from a small town called Saginaw.
Okay. I'm pointing to... You know, right around the... Should I point to the middle of my hand for Saginaw? Where am I pointing for Saginaw?
Yeah, if you know, you know. Okay. So, yeah, I would definitely put it in the middle. Some people say it's near
very good.
I disagree, but, you know.
Okay, Richard, pointing to the middle of my hand is great for radio. All right, here we go.
Our three guests, Paul Walderhauser's from Saginaw.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Let's get this. All right, what's going to happen when they visit Green Bay to start the season, Veronica?
Oh, come on, Rich. They're
going to
win.
Oh, okay. Pardon me. I didn't know.
Dare you ask Veronica
then. Okay, Veronica. Then what happens when they're home for the Bears?
I was wrestling with this one.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be a wash.
Why? You think Ben Johnson's going to come in and teach a lesson? Is that what you're saying?
He might.
Okay.
He knows a few things about Detroit.
At the Ravens on a Monday night.
That might be a loss as well.
A 1-2 start. For a home date against the Browns.
Well, then they get bounced back, and then they're going to win.
Okay, then they're at the Bengals.
Win.
So you have them 3-2 going into Kansas City.
This Rice wrestled with this too, but I think it could be a win as well.
Okay, just like a couple of kickoffs ago. 4-2, home for the Bucs on a Monday night.
I think that's going to be a win as well.
All right, now you're cooking. A 4-game win streak into the bye, coming out of the bye home against the Vikings.
Sorry, JJ, I'm going with the Detroit Lions on this one.
6-2 at the Commanders.
That's going to be a loss.
6-3 at the Eagles.
I think a loss as well.
Oh, that's on a Sunday night. 6-4 home for the Giants.
That's a win. Come on.
Oh, okay. By the way, I like Veronica's attitude.
Moxie.
Not usually associated with the state of Michigan. Now you've got 7-4 Packers Thanksgiving.
Win.
Sweeping the Packers. 8-4 home for the Cowboys a week later.
Sorry, TJ. That's going to be a win.
9-4 at the Rams.
Watch.
9-5 home for the Steelers.
Win.
10-5 at the Vikings on a Thursday night. By the way, that's Christmas. My bad. And now you got the Bears at Chicago to wrap it up.
So I wrestled with this one, but they learned their lesson, so it's going to be a win.
All right, a 3-game winning streak to wrap it up. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 losses. So you got a 12-5 season, Veronica.
I think that's a good one.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Veronica. Okay. Fun playing the win-loss game for the Lions. It's only the third one. That's the best result we've gotten. Billy in Michigan and Kyle. Well, that's not true. Billy in Michigan at 10-7 and Kyle in Michigan, pardon me. He had them winning them all, 17-0.
He was real winning.
All right. We like when people lose their heads like that.
16-0, man.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. So we talked about the Cowboys at length in hour number one. Don't worry, TJ, we're going to drop that subject.
Right? I doubt that, but okay.
No, because, I mean, Micah Parsons is absolutely the guy with the contract situation unsettled, although Jerry will point out he's still under contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pay that man his money.
But so is Terry McLaurin, and so is Trey Hendrickson. So let's start with Terry McLaurin first, since that's the guy Brockman wants.
Terry, like, KGB.
Very few people are on the radar screen here with these contract conundrums that Brockman has put his thumb on the scale that he wants more than anybody else. It's Terry McLaurin. You want to add Terry McLaurin?
Add Terry McLaurin.
Top-notch human, top-notch person, top-notch player, top-notch teammate, top-notch wide receiver.
All the above.
And is a guy who is viewed amongst all the buck nuts that I know. I just coined that. I might use that a lot more.
Nut. I'm going to write that down.
But you got to stress the B.
He went to Ohio State.
He's viewed as the OG in this line of receivers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Chris Carter's raising his hand somewhere saying, you remember where I went to school? But of the current crop of stallions that play the position coming out of Columbus, Ohio.
No doubt.
He's viewed as the OG here, and he played like one for Jaden Daniels, and he is making, man, it's amazing how I wrote all this stuff down because I knew I'd keep referring to it week, day after day. He is making $15.5 million in the final year of a three-year deal that he held out for, missed OTAs last time in 2022. The end of a three-year $68.3 million deal. And as you know, that's now half of what the top receivers in the NFL make, or even less than half. And so he wants his. And last we heard was McLaurin, I believe, at a local event. Was he just finished shooting a commercial or something like that?
Yeah, like a car dealership or something. Yeah.
And you could see he was just kind of, you know, resigned to yet more time being needed for a deal that I think he would think requires only mere seconds to just give. The man who no doubt is on top of this is Adam Peters, the general manager of the Washington Commanders, who's sitting next to Dan Quinn, another new arrival last year to the franchise, had this to say, the latest on the McLaurin contract.
Yeah, without a doubt, I think everybody in this building values Terry very much. And we knew that coming in, and we knew that even more after spending a year with him. In terms of where we're at, we've had, you know, conversations recently, and we'll look to have some more conversations, and we're going to do everything we can in order to get a deal done.
Well, that's, you know, as good as you're going to get from the general managers. We're talking, we've talked, we're talking, and we look to have more talks and the idea of getting something done. And I just feel, again, the same way I did about TJ Watt and saying, this is just has to, you have to get it done. In the same way with TJ Watt needing to get done because they have a quarterback who's 41 and they only have him for one more year and they got to go all in when they're clearly all in at the most important position, in a way where, like, okay, he says he's got one more year left. I know Cam Hayward told Seth Rollins when he sat in the chair, like, maybe they're going to ask him for more by the end of the year if he does well enough. And in the same way that I'm like, you can't have a money holdout with TJ Watt when Aaron Rodgers is there, maybe for just one year. This is year two for your stud quarterback. You've got basically one more year left before that year four when they're going to redo the deal for Jaden Daniels. Okay. You basically have two more years, maybe, if you're just going to extend Daniels, right? And you also got to keep this train moving in the positive direction. You're not going to just not have Terry McLaurin.
No. They've got goodwill with the fan base back now, it seems like.
Well, hey. And I don't know. Clearly, I don't think McLaurin, does he have the same relationship with the fans that TJ Watt has with the Steelers? I don't know. I'll reserve that for a Commander fan to call in to say.
I know one, and I think he does.
Listen, but so. it just makes no sense to. But if Terry wants, you know, Justin Jefferson money, then now we're going to be, I don't know what he wants. Now the general manager is going to have to swallow and figure out, I don't know if that's going to happen, but figure something out. Get the guy in. My gosh, he and Jaden Daniels were one of the top receiver quarterback combinations last year. Top, tippy top.
Number two in touchdowns, 13.
And so, got to keep this train moving. Got to figure this thing out.
Terry McLaurin, top 10 wide receiver?
No.
The way the results were last year?
I said no, but
Heck yeah.
I have to think, no.
The way the results came in last year?
Let's see.
Yeah. So,
he was 15th in yards, second in touchdowns.
That one has to get done. Then there's Trey Hendrickson. I don't know. This is the one where I don't know. This is the one where, because with the Bengals, you just don't know, man. You never know. Okay. And with McLaurin, it's still uncertain if he's showing up to training camp. We'll see. The Bengals, we know Trey Hendrickson is not in training camp because he Instagrammed out what appears to be a sunrise over Florida, or is that a sunset? We can't tell. Don't know if that's looking east or west on this.
I know it ain't Cincinnati.
Freeway. That's not. Well, he geotagged it in case you're wondering, could that possibly be Ohio or Kentucky? Don't know, because it's just an interstate, what it looks like.
Life's a highway.
And he's driving it all night long away from Cincinnati. That one, I don't know. If I had to guess, would anyone get done? Potentially not. Because it's always Cincinnati. You know? I think, well, I know Parsons is going to get done. And you know, I think McLaurin's going to get done. I don't think he's going to be traded. But Hendrickson, don't you think that's the one? That could potentially be.
I could see him
last second,
or just him missing games, where he's just going to carry this into the regular season and to prove his point. And they're going to lose the first couple of weeks. They're going to give up 35 points on
that.
D.
Like into and the he's going to be like,
"You need me
into the season."
This guy is so underpaid.
I guess that is the definition of I don't know if it's going to get done. This dude, man. He turns 31 on December 5th. McLaurin turns 30 on September 15th. He and my mom share a birthday. He doesn't know that. I do.
Trey Hendrickson younger than TJ Watt.
McLaurin, man. DK Metcalf turns 28 in December, and he signed that massive deal with $60 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't think Terry's getting that.
No. I don't.
Why can you meet at like $27-28 million a year?
If you're them, you have to do that. The question is what's the figure for Hendrickson with Watt and Garrett making $40 million per?
I wonder if it's as simple as
Karlaftis making $23 million per. You wouldn't just throw it right in the middle. And if you're him, you're like, why do I need to middle it?
Yeah,
I'm just as good as Garrett and Watt. I'm just as productive as those guys.
I'm wondering if it's just as simple as Mike Brown doesn't have the cash.
Dude, everybody assumes that. That's why we have this drop. For knowing when the Bengals sign him. That's like the audio version of the white smoke.
Yeah, for the Pope.
I mean, is there any other white smoke?
Maybe. I don't know.
Coming out of your ears?
Perhaps.
I don't know.
Cypressil tour bus.
I appreciate your clarification of what I meant by the white smoke.
Just in case the people out there don't know.
No relation to White Snake.
Still in the night.
Okay. So let's ask Mike Florio his thoughts on all of this.
Love it.
And then the phone lines are lit. 844-204-ITCH, number to dial. We're going to have Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. That's later on. Paul Walter Hauser of Saginaw, Michigan will be joining us in hour number three. I had no idea about that. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk when we return. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. basically in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Chris, can you say something so I can be off camera to send a text?
Hi, Chris.
Sometimes you just got to walk straight through the front door.
Yeah, okay. No problem. TJ, what do you got planned for tomorrow?
Absolutely nothing, but I do know what I want out of you for the birthday thing that he brought up.
Oh.
I want you to do
Cowboys win loss. Yeah, that's what I want.
I want you to go one full hour of this show being extremely positive about everything that comes up. I don't want you to be down. I don't want you to be negative.
Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow. One hour of straight positivity.
This is great.
Someone says something and you don't like. Hold think, on a second. Oh, this guy's lying.
May I chime in? Mr. Jefferson.
Richard, text, please.
Yes. Can we bait him?
Well, of course. Why wouldn't we?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. We need for an hour, a full hour tomorrow.
I was going to ask for the whole day, but I thought that might be tough.
No.
Just because 60 minutes.
Because all he's asking for you is just...
I'm asking for 5 minutes.
Right, yeah, for a win-loss game for the Cowboys.
Yeah, but that's going to carry over for the whole season, that one loss. They're going to be on me for the whole season.
It does leave a marker.
No, really? What'd you do the last couple of years? What was your win-loss? No, we didn't talk about it. We do it once and we forget about it.
No, we don't because I've hit the number every year. You guys know that.
So you reject his birthday wish?
No, I'm not going to reject. I mean, it's like the Godfather.
So tomorrow, how old are you tomorrow?
45.
Okay. How old are you tomorrow?
Nice try.
I tried. By the way, I could still make one phone call to HR.
Yeah, but then you do, and this whole bit, we're done forever.
Rich Eisen Production, HR. So, by the way, you know I have purposely not done that.
I get it, because once you know, the bit's done, and you love this bit.
It's not a bit. I really am curious what your age is.
It's a bit.
So, for your 45th birthday, your wish for TJ is to play Win Wallace game, and for your whatever birthday tomorrow, your wish is to have him be nice for just one full hour.
One full hour of positivity. Right.
Very good. I like it. I like it. It's gonna be tough. We're having fun
it's
here.
It's going to be difficult.
We're having fun here. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, the man who puts the pro in Pro Football Talk, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Florio, back here on the program. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Back off the pay no mind list. It's been a while.
Why do you say that? It's true. Why do you say that? That's so untrue.
Fine. I'm not going to name names.
Is it because he's been cozying up with Pablo?
No,
Rich?
I mean,
like, come on now.
No.
My wife, sure. There's no reason to name names. All I know is I see others popping up a lot more frequently than I get the bat signal. But that's fine.
No.
I'm here when you want me. I'm here when you don't want me. I am a constant presence, like a fungus that will not go away. And every once in a while, you scratch it, and you're scratching
this
me
today. This is not true. This is untrue. This is all of it is, it's muckraking, Mike. That's terrible.
When you are back on the mothership, will I be invited aboard?
1,000,000%. 1,000,000%, Mike. And when you're on the mothership, you know what's going to be a top-selling ebook? Put it up on the screen.
It's very well done.
Put it up on the screen. We've got a big shield, everybody.
Hey, nice.
It's about the mob, gambling, and professional football, but not the NFL.
It's not the NFL.
It's not the NFL.
None of the teams depicted in Big Shield or NFL franchises.
Zero of them.
All similarities are coincidental.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when I'm on ESPN, we'll have you come on talk about playmakers. They'll love it.
Awesome. Everybody Wait, which will. Playmakers? You mean the series?
That's
I
the
had
one.
The book. That's the name one. Of the book from
That's
a few the, years ago.
Oh, that's right. Perfect.
Nod to the series.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Florio.
Let's go.
Okay. What's going on with the NFL Players Association, Mike, and why should fans care about it? I give you the floor on that.
Well, currently it's chaos, and it's the aftermath of the abrupt resignations of both Executive Director Lloyd Howell, and then former NFLPA president and more recently chief strategy officer J.C. Treader. And it really had been kind of a drip of news. Pablo Torre and I did some reporting. We found a collusion ruling that had been hidden for more than 5 months, and we still don't know why the NFLPA elected to hide it, because it was a partial victory. One of the findings was that the NFL Management Council, with the blessing of the commissioner, urged teams to collude as it relates to guaranteed contracts following the Deshaun Watson deal of 2022. That was stuffed in a drawer for more than 5 months by the league until Pablo Torre tracked it down. So there were other things too. ESPN's done some great work here with Kalen Kaler and Don Van Atta Jr., different items that just increased the pressure. I think it was an impending report from them last week about the strip club expense report misadventures with Lloyd Howell that caused him to resign. But as of right now, I don't know where they go. I don't think they know where they go. And the players who are leading the charge have training camp to focus on. This is not an ideal time to be figuring out who the interim executive director should be. But here's why fans should care. It's critical that there be balance in this relationship between the league and the players. And you don't want it to get out of balance. I think if it gets out of balance, it sets the stage for a work stoppage at some point. You know, the league can push and push and push, and at some point the players say enough, and you got 1982 or 1987 all over again. No one wants that. And if it gets out of balance the other way, then you get a lockout in 2011, where the league felt compelled to try to claw back some of the gains the players had made in the 2006 CBA talks. So you want both sides to be strong. You want there to be a healthy tension, and you want there to be balance. And right now there's a risk that, based on how this goes, it's going to become grossly imbalanced between the league and the players.
So the question is once the players can actually focus on it, your opinion of what would provide the most balance, somebody who's a lawyer or somebody who's from the world of business, Mike?
And this is an interesting question for a variety of reasons.
I only ask one those, of, Mike. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know
Not
that.
To be confused with your normal boring questions. This is an interesting one. Because there's a yes. perception uh-huh. that Pablo Torre and I had like a magic wand that was waved that has caused these vacancies, people think they can try to get me to like push for their preferred candidate or for them. I'm staying out of the who the next executive director should be, but there are different ways to look at it. And in the past, they had kind of a bulldog in Demoris Smith. Lloyd Howell was the other extreme. Let's do business. I'm a businessman with no labor experience, but I know how they think. I'll be able to do our deals. You know, it would be helpful to have a former player who's got some labor relations chops and knows how to preside over collective bargaining talks. And one of the things I thought of today, I mean, if you really want to make things interesting, you think about somebody who's in the NFL right now, somebody with the league or one of the teams that maybe could be lured for the right price to switch sides and come lead the union. Wouldn't you want somebody who knows what their recipe is for making the sausage? That happens in business from time to time. I'd be thinking about, and again, I'm not naming names because I'm not here to play Game of Thrones. But man, it would be interesting to see somebody come from behind Big Shield to, not to be confused with the completely unrelated Big Shield that is the title of the book.
Yes.
But to leave the NFL and lead the union, that would be high drama.
Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. While we're on the subject of drama, your take on the Jerry Jones training camp opening opus in Oxnard, Mike?
Well, I saw a screenshot today of him giving the finger, and I texted Clarence Hill, who posted it, to get some context, because you never know. Like, I cut myself. Where'd you cut yourself? Well, it just happens to be my middle finger. So I don't know why he was flashing the middle finger. But J.J. Watt noticed what he said about Michael Parsons and Dak Prescott missing games due to injury and had a very pointed tweet. Micah Parsons noticed it and reposted it. And I'm a firm believer that Micah should have held out, that because he's there, and I don't want to get too deep into the CBA weeds, a player has much more leverage if he doesn't show up than if he shows up and thinks about leaving. We'll leave it at that. That's true. So once you're there, pendulum swings to the team. And I think what they're going to do, Rich, they're going to lowball him. And whatever the last best offer is before week one, it's going to be less than it would have been if he had held out. He's going to have to ask himself, do I take this deal that is less than what I could have gotten? Or does he play for $24 million this year? It's eight times what he made last year. Does he play for that? And do they kick the can to next year? Because the Cowboys don't act until the clock is in the process of striking 12. By him showing up, and even if he holds in and doesn't practice during training camp or the preseason, a time will come to grab your helmet and go get ready to play, like it did for Roquan Smith when he did a hold in with the Bears a few years ago. Eventually, we're not going to get a deal done. You're here. You need to work. I think that's what's going to happen. I think right now my prediction would be no new deal for Michael Parsons unless he takes less than no new deal and they figure it all out next year.
Interesting. All right, that's one to put on the board and put a pin in. What do you think about the Terry McLaurin scenario here for the Commanders, Mike?
You know, when you talk to people about does Terry McLaurin need a new contract, the easy answer is yes. He's making $15 million or so this year. The market has shot north of 40. Does he land north of 30, between 30 and 35, Garrett Wilson-ish? You can make the argument, yes, but that's the problem. You got to get the two circles of the Venn diagram to kiss, and so far they haven't. And I think Terry McLaurin looks at this and says, hey, this is my last best chance to get paid. They have two more years with Jaden Daniels on his slotted rookie deal, which is going to be peanuts in comparison to what he's making after the 2026 season, and he's eligible for a second contract. I'll take mine now. Give me mine now. And when Deebo Samuel comes through the door making more money than the guy who's been there through the hard times and now the front end of the good times, I can understand why McLaurin is pushing for more than whatever they're offering. I know Adam Peters, the GM of the team, talked about it today, that being hopeful. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what they're willing to pay. And beyond the average per year, because there are ways to play games with it to pump it up, the structure it's signing is critical. How many years are going to be fully guaranteed? How many years are guaranteed is a practical matter. That's never part of the initial storm of tweets when a deal gets done. But the structure is critical to how good or bad a deal really is.
And then Trey Hendrickson. I go back and forth about, am I being unfair to a Bengals franchise that did find the money for Joe Burrow, right? That did put a sponsor's name on the building to, you know, pay Joe Stadium pretty much, right? to make sure that they're keeping Burrow. They did get Higgins and Chase under long-term contracts, right? They did keep them together. They haven't lost them. I'm just wondering if I'm being unfair to think that this Hendrickson thing, along with Shamar Stewart as well, is emblematic of the Bengals haven't got it all out of their system. Mike, what do you
think? And I don't think they have. Look, they paid Joe Burrow market value because they had to. But with Jamar Chase, I think he could have held out for more. He could have squeezed them for more than what he got. Still a great deal, but I think he could have done more than what he got. T. Higgins, when you look at his deal, they took advantage of the fact that he grew up a Bengals fan and wanted to stay in Cincinnati. He, I think, would have been better off playing under the franchise tag for a second year. He would have had a guaranteed shot at free agency next year. They got lucky that those guys didn't push for every last penny. Now, Hendrickson is pushing, relatively speaking, for more. And I think he wants Max Crosby money. He's not trying to catch TJ Watt. He's not trying to catch Myles Garrett. But $35.5 million per year new money, when the guy's due to make 16, that's a huge raise. I had heard months ago that they offered him 28 in new money. Shefty reported earlier today that the structure is an issue. 1 year guaranteed, not 3 years, either straight or as a practical matter guaranteed at signing. That's a big part of it for a guy on the wrong side of 30. So they are being stubborn. And here's the thing, and I made this point a couple of months ago, and this isn't a shot at Trey Hendrickson. It's just an acknowledgement of how the Bengals are. The Bengals don't care. When Carson Palmer was done with the Bengals, they didn't care. They said, stay home. We'll gladly keep your money. He will become this year's Hassan Reddick, staying away for training camp, racking up non-waivable fines, getting into the regular season, giving up game checks unless they find a way to do a deal. But the Bengals, of all the teams out there that will become weak-kneed because of a holdout, the Bengals are the last ones to do it, because I firmly believe, Rich, and this trickles over to Shamar Stewart as well, it's not about money, it's about power. And it's about reminding the players who's in charge. And we'll do without you, Trey Hendrickson, you, Shamar Stewart, you, Carson Palmer. We'll do without if we can preserve our ability to let everybody know who's boss. I feel like that is the core of what the Bengals are all about. And if their fans are fine with it, well, okay, have fun.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Brown did call what's going on with Shamar Stewart foolishness. And he did basically say, like, why should I pay him if he's in jail?
If he winds up in jail. But he wouldn't be paying him if he's in jail. Rich, he wouldn't be paying if he's in jail. But this is the here it is in a nutshell.
Yes.
They have had language in their contracts that would trigger a default of remaining guaranteed money. Okay? They've had that language in there for years. They put the same language in the Jamar Chase and T. Higgins deal. Same language that they've had. Same language Amarius Mims got last year as the 18th overall pick. Same language. Now for Shamar Stewart, oh, we want to change it. We want to change it. And this is basic negotiation. If you're going to make a unilateral change to a key term in a contract and you're going to offer me nothing to go along with it, what are we doing? You got to offer me something. And the fact that they did it, the old language with Higgins and with Chase, and now they want to jam the new language onto Stewart. This is an interesting thing to watch if they would sign Hendrickson. Does he get the old language? Does he get the prison insurance that some are now calling it, that Chase and Higgins and Mims and all the other players that have had that term in their deal gotten? Or does he get the new one crammed on him too? Again, Rich, for me, it's about power. It's about, I think, Shamar Stewart not signing the participation agreement and showing up for offseason workouts. And I think they're just trying to send a message to a guy who dared to stand up for himself, and they're not going to bend. And that's the problem. They're not giving him any opening. They're not looking for a win-win. They're just going to stand firm until he buckles.
Mike Florio here on the show. Before I give you the runway on your ebook, what are we not talking about? What's on your mind? What's in your inbox? What are we not talking about as we're set for all 32 being in camp?
There's plenty we're not talking about, it's amazing. You know, we are in week six of the annual PFT Live hiatus, and people think I'm on vacation. And it's like, you know what? I've been busier the last 5.5 weeks than I have been before. So slow time, there is no slow time. I do a 45-minute podcast every day on everything that's going on. It never slows down. It really is strange to me, though, that I think all this talk of holdouts, hold-ins, I'm surprised that we've just kind of forgotten about Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Like, we all knew it was coming. It happened. And we're like, okay, this is a huge deal. I mean, the Steelers have never behaved this way before. Now they have TJ Watt happy. They have DK Metcalf. They have Jalen Ramsey. Like, this is a hell of a chemistry experiment for the Pittsburgh Steelers in a division that is loaded, in a conference that is loaded. I'm fascinated to see what the Steelers can do. And they have three winnable games right out of the gates. At the Jets, Seahawks at home, at the Patriots, and they go to Dublin to play the Vikings. That week one game, I wish we could do a week one flex. Not that I have a problem with Ravens Bills on Sunday Night Football on NBC.
You got a piece of
filet, not complaining about that. That's a good game.
Yes, it is.
Man, I want that Steelers Jets game, Rich, to be standalone so we can all watch it and nothing else.
Yeah, I know CBS is ecstatic to have that. And, you know, clearly the schedule makers were laying down a marker that they thought Rodgers was coming to put Rodgers at the Jets and have, you know, Justin Fields be the Jets quarterback, and like they basically swap quarterbacks like those old, you know, body swap movies. Right. And then you got those games at the top, and then you got the Packers and Rodgers on a Sunday night as well. You've got the visit on a Sunday night out here to Los Angeles with Jim Harbaugh, the rest of the stroll through the AFC East, the rest of his final stroll through the NFC North. I mean, it's all, every game must-see television. And you talk about chemistry experiment, that's supposed to be Tomlin's forte, isn't it? I think it is. I think that's part of his special sauce, is to know how to motivate different guys based on what he knows about them. And I think Rodgers and Tomlin are going to click very well. I really agree.
Tomlin is that chef from the cooking show that takes a bunch of stuff that's laying around and turns it into a gourmet meal.
He's the emerald of the NFL. Is that what you're saying?
I don't watch any of the shows, so I can't make any reference beyond that. Sorry.
Just knows there is one.
I'll take care of it for you.
Yeah, he is. What do you think of the god-awful uniforms the Steelers are going to be wearing on NBC and Peacock week 8 against the Packers?
I haven't seen those, actually.
Those are the 1994 75th anniversary throwbacks, and I was hoping they'd be thrown out for good then. They're back 32 years later.
That one I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, not good.
So
not good.
I'll give you the...
Wear special protection for your eyes.
Nice. Big shield. What do we have here, Mike? What do you got here?
So... And Rich, look, ever since the Supreme Court opened the floodgates for state-by-state legalized sports betting in 2018, I've had concerns that there are different ways scandals could rock professional football. And once I started into this whole fiction thing, and most of my books are not sports books, they're just mob-type books, crime somewhere at the center, I had an idea one day that I could take this concern that I have for a scandal that could seriously undermine the integrity of the sport. And anyone who's connected to the sport should be concerned about that and care about that. Let's make that come to life as kind of a cautionary tale for the players who might think there's a way to make easy money by giving people inside information, for the league to come up with effective ways to protect inside information, because I'm not sure they have effective ways to do it. And so the whole book is premised on a setting in the not too distant future where everything is streaming in real time. And there's a third string quarterback on Las Vegas, not the Raiders, who is tied in with the mob and is providing inside information before the game. And more importantly, during the game, in a very low tech way that lets people betting in real time know, is it a run? Is it a pass? And that is the kind of thing that can happen very easily. Once we get to the point where everyone is able to see exactly what's happening during the game in real time and lock in action before the snap happens, you could have people on the inside providing that information. So that's the premise, and it all goes from there. And it's not the National Football League, but it is professional football. And I fear the league will hate it, but I'd like to think if they really understand the message and the themes, they'll love it, because it might scare some players straight.
Pre-order now on Amazon. The question is, Mike, and this is your last one for you. in terms of the hatred level, the NFL for Big Shield or you for these Steeler uniforms that you have a problem with? What do you? What's more on the hate level, do you think?
It would be impossible for the league to hate Big Shield as much as I despise those uniforms.
Okay.
Those are horrible. And they're even worse now on modern equipment with the modern helmets. Mm. They were bad enough in 94 when all the helmets looked like, you know, little kids' Halloween costumes. Mm. They're even worse now. I don't mind the yellow helmet. Mm. I hate the whole look.
Mike Florio, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you, Mike.
Talk to you in about, what, five months?
No.
About week six, Mike.
That is a smear and untrue. But thanks for the time, buddy. Good to see you.
See you, Rich.
Mike Florio, everybody. Go get Big Shield right now. Available on pre-order on Amazon here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
So, you know, we love talking movies around here. You know, we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So, you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews. And up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie. Also Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes. And the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there. So I have here, word for word, verbatim, three of the great sports rants of all time. And we would love for you to do your best Victor Newman. Is that okay?
The first one is Herm Edwards.
Yes, Herm Edwards. The first one up, Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports. Is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go to play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. 'Cause it matters.
Well done, that's number one. Next up, on October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
The Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it.
On May 7th, 2002, the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braden. Hit it, Mike Dolte.
Great Allen Iverson. My God, man.
Go for it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. It's not a game. Not a game, all right? You're talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. You're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that? I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Eric, I think that's your finest work, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, thank you very much.
I think our claps after each one of them is my favorite part about that.
I can feel it.
That's when I think that's your favorite drop.
Oh yeah,
Belly.
Yeah, I do. I honestly do.
You love them all. I think I do.
I can feel it.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
That's your favorite.
That's it. Yeah.
That. Oh man.
Oh man.
That's a great.
Talking about
where it is though.
Fantastic. Everybody, check out our YouTube channel, please.
Yeah. It is with a. Do you think Mike Florio could do an hour of positivity?
Yeah. Man. Don't play into his brand. You know what I mean?
Mike and I are cut from a similar cloth.
I know you are. I know you are. Doug in North Carolina, line two intrigues me.
Yeah, what's you?
What's up, Doug?
Well, Rich, I'm a proud graduate of Eastern Michigan University.
Ypsilanti, right Michigan.
Yes,
wonderful.
Right next door to you guys in Ann Arbor.
Washtenaw County. Yes, sir. What's up?
But I've never called into this show before, and I'm just stirring the pot. I'm a frequent caller into the Dan Patrick Show.
Okay.
And earlier today, I called in because they were off last week, and I shared TJ's allegations that Fritchie cheated on the Family Feud, did not go over well.
Okay.
It did not go over well.
Can they
can't deny that it happened because it happened.
Totally happened.
They said you guys have sour grapes, that you were owned by them, that you that they doubt that you had the answer that Fritzy, the second answer that Fritzy gave, because as Dan said, you guys didn't come up with one correct answer all evening.
Mm.
And then he really heated things up. He read a text message on the air that he claims came from your wife, which said, "Congratulations, I'm embarrassed by our team's performance." Hmm. So just wanted to throw that out.
All of that stuff might be true.
Hold on a second. Let's walk through here. Sour grapes? Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Did we get everything wrong?
Did we get dominated?
That's not true.
We didn't get everything wrong, but they did dominate us.
You won control of the board.
I did. I got the top answer.
Right, and then when Dan won control of the board to start, we stole and we got it right.
Right.
So and that's not true.
We had that answer lined up.
And we did have the answer.
We were specifically told in a pre-meeting to not do what Fritz did. Wait, 1 second. Let's take one at a time here.
Well, let me answer that.
Please. Let's take one at a time here. And so does that sound like a text from Susie? 100%.
Yes.
Okay. Why'd you do that, Susie?
Can they know that we had the answer that Fritzy had? They can't. They have no idea.
They have no idea.
Now, in the meeting beforehand, specifically, they told us if you say an answer that's already been done, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
That's an X. That did not happen. You know, yeah, I mean,
and it was carefully edited, so you didn't see what happened.
I didn't see the edit because I was okay.
So yeah, we've never denied that we got dusted. I wasn't sour grapes. I'm just pointing out a fact.
Right,
it happened.
Correct.
We lost. We got murked, and we're not denying that.
And Fritzy did something they specifically told us not to do in the pre-meeting.
Well, because the answer that he gave wasn't exactly similar to what was on the board, according to my recollection. It wasn't word perfect about what was on the board, but it was something very similar to it.
He said spiders and bugs, critters was already on the board, and they let him give another answer.
But
before the show, they told us, if you do that, you will be given a strike.
And it didn't happen. And we were even commenting about it
while it was happening
live.
Right.
After
we had lost, we were all talking about it afterward.
Oh, that's right. With them, right?
With them.
Doug, you still there?
They brought that up too. They said that while they were enjoying their victory, jumping up and down, that one of you guys ruined the moment by saying, you guys cheated.
Oh, well, that's definitely not true. We were celebrating with them.
Yes, that's not true.
I can't see anybody saying that you guys cheated.
Del Tufo's the only one who's not here, but he that doesn't sound like him.
No, we were more than overjoyed that they got the 200 points for the on the final round.
Right, yeah. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Boys and Girls Club of Milford, Connecticut won
$25,000.
Yeah, right, which is great.
Which is great.
Yeah, is this Doug, is this what you were looking for? That you're stirring it up?
I just wanted to get everyone on the record. You know, I listen to their show just because of the time of the day.
By the way, Dan, I listen to Dan's show on the way as well. I mean, we all do, so we love him. But this means war, though.
And for the record, you should know two things. Fritzy says he has no memory of this happening.
False.
And recently, in a pickleball episode that they have where the Danettes were playing each other, he was accused of cheating by staying in the kitchen. So cheating allegations against Fritzy are a common thing.
Well, we already know this about Todd. No, but
there was nothing that Todd did. It was the gameplay, and we're like, we were told this was going to be a strike, and they gave him another option.
And by the way, if you're playing pickleball and you don't call someone in the kitchen in the moment, that's on you. I mean, but that said, we when you took control of the board, that was our high point.
Yeah, we were.
Everything
we were
went downhill after that,
and we had control of the board.
Right, they got everything right.
Yeah.
And I have not seen the edit yet because I was at the American Century Championship.
You should watch it. It's on Hulu.
And so is Dan, but they had a watch party. We did not.
We did not. Have
a watch
party. I still haven't seen it either.
I was a solid one
and
for
Susie
one.
Susie definitely hasn't seen it, so.
I'm a little disappointed in Susie. Why would she sell us out like that?
Benedict Schuster.
I can't believe I'm saying that.
Because, but, you know, it does sound completely like her.
Yeah,
to do that.
It does.
She's a front runner.
It's completely like Dan to use my wife's
text. Yes, exactly.
It's all on brand.
It's all on brand.
Including Fritzy cheating.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.